By popular demand. Anybody came prepared to be baptized? Stephen is fully ready, came prepared to baptize somebody. That's the only thing he forgot, but that's all right. Well, I've only done this once before, so bear with me.
Amen.
We're going to be in 2 Kings 5. And I have a lot of notes. I'm pretty good at coming up with ideas. I'm pretty bad at putting them in order. I get what I call analysis paralysis. I'm pretty sure you guys experience that from time to time. When I go shopping, my wife hates me because I gotta get the exact can of tomatoes. It's gotta be a balance of the cheapest, the best deal with the best quality. It's just a lot of parameters that I gotta meet. And the same happens when I'm preparing a message. It just works against me sometimes. But first thing I wanna say is pray for your preachers. Pray for your pastors. Oh my goodness. Being up here, it's not easy. And they do it every week, twice a week, three times a week, I don't know. And we're down to three pastors, four pastors. I don't know, we're dwindling, man. So it might be a calling for somebody who is a native English speaker to step up and, you know, take a little bit of the mantle of the preaching and the pastoring and all that. So yeah, pray for your preachers. It is not easy, and they still have to juggle full-time jobs and families and stuff like that. So just keep that in mind. It's not as easy as they make it seem, especially Bill. Like, he just can talk and talk and has a gift of gab. I've appreciated it. It's not a bad thing. There's a stone in Ireland, I think, called the Stone of Blarney or something like that. The Blarney. You gotta go to this castle and kiss the stone and supposedly gives you the gift of gab, right? That's the way they call it, so you can speak. If I was in Ireland, I would have gone. But man, I really don't think I have it, but praise the Lord. Let's make our best effort today. I'm gonna be in 2 Kings 5. We all know the story. I think most of you know the story, if not all. It talks about Naaman, right? A captain of the Syrian army. So I'm going to start reading verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. So this is an impressive resume. I don't know. Captain of the host of the king of Syria was a great man with his master. He's honorable. By him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. You know, I remember that other place in the Bible where it's talking about David's mighty man of valor, right? And these were crazy, crazy men. Like, oh, this guy killed 200. That guy killed 100. That's 700 over there. And he calls him here a mighty man of valor. So this is not just your everyday captain of an army, right? At that time, Syria was at war with the Israelites, right? With Judea. They were at war. They were not friendly. So when Naaman goes to seek deliverance, it's not an easy thing for him. But he is a great man. He's amazing, man. and it baffles my mind what he says. The Lord had given deliverance through him, but to Syria. That is crazy. So God is working through this man who's a Gentile to give deliverance to another nation. I don't know in which way, I don't know how, but God is using people outside of the faith, right? It's outside of the Jewish people. He's using, hey, I'm gonna use you for my purpose. I'm gonna take you and, tweak it a little bit so it works according to my plan. And that's what happens here. That's why we have this amazing story. He was for the king of Aram, which, if you know, what is the language the Lord Jesus spoke? Aramaic, right? It comes from this place. It comes from Aram. It's just a fun fact that I like there. Aramaic, and he was from the kingdom of Aram. And it says, but he was a leper. This great man had this this terrible curse of being a leper. You know, being a leper back then was a death sentence, right? It might be slow. It'll eat at you slowly, but you're as good as dead. Nobody can cure you. There was no cure as of right now. Now we know it's just a bacteria or something like that, that it's your flesh and it's treatable, but not back then. And we read about it in Leviticus, I believe it's 13 and 14. It explains how you are to treat leprosy. And the leprosy in the houses, because even houses can get leprosy. I don't know how that works, but they do, right? Like if a leper lives there, then the house is contaminated. And the priest had to go and see, oh yeah, that's leprosy. And you had to show your flesh to the priest and he'll say, yeah, that's leprosy or it's not leprosy. And the funny thing is that they're very good at telling what leprosy is, but they couldn't cure it. They can just say, yeah, you're done. Yeah, that's it for you, man. That's leprosy. You're an outcast. And now you have to wear a veil and announce yourself before you come into town and go live into a leper colony. And you're done. And I was thinking, I told my wife, it was crazy being a leper, because even if you are begging on the streets and people would throw you money, that nobody will take your money after that, right? It's leper money. So even they had to throw you food like a dog. You're an outcast. Now, Naaman, according to this story, for what I can see, he wasn't there yet. He probably was just starting. His leprosy was small. Maybe it was a spot under his armor that nobody could see but him and those close to him, because he was still serving the king. He was still doing his duty as a commander. It was amazing. So, but he knows he's a leper. He says he's a leper. And the Syrians had gone out, verse 2, by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, will God my Lord wherewith the prophet that is in Samaria? For he will recover him of his leprosy. This is an amazing thing. This little maid was taken captive from his home. And now she's helping the guy who took her captive. I wouldn't do that. I don't know about you, but I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to help you die. If it was just because of me, man, I'm not going to help you. But this girl, I guess she took a liking to her captors, or she was just better than us, you know, better than me. She was better than me, honestly. She's a humble voice pointing this captor to healing. She says, if you were in my town, we have somebody who can heal you. We have a God in Judea that can heal you. So this little girl tells probably Naaman's wife or somebody, and she says, hey, I know somebody who can help Naaman. And then Naaman says, okay, verse 4, and one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So the girl tells Naaman, I know somebody who can help you. And then Naaman goes to his king and says, the girl knows somebody who can help me. And then the king says, take some money. Go to this king. I'm going to send a letter with you so he can help you. And he says, a bunch of silver and gold. I looked this up to see how much it was in today's money. It was like $7 million or something like that. I was like, oh my goodness. These guys were not kidding. That king really loved Naaman. He says he was a great commander, right? So he sends Naaman with his caravan of gold and silver and 10 changes of raiment and a letter for the king of Israel. Now, when they get to the king of Israel, he says on 6, he wrote the letter to the king of Israel saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. So the king of Israel that time, I believe it was Jehoram, he was not a godly man, right? He was not a godly man. And instead of knowing that he has Elijah there, that he can help him, if he was only a godly man that was close to Elijah, but he wasn't, he wouldn't be in this kind of despair saying, and this guy is just trying to find an occasion to invade me. And remember, these guys were not friendly to each other. Probably Syria had the upper hand on Israel at this point. They were raiding them, and they were taking, obviously, captives, and they were not friendly to each other. So the king is saying, this guy is trying to make a move on me. And he's just making an excuse, saying, cure my leper. This is crazy. Imagine that, yeah. Go ahead and cure my captain of his leprosy. The king's like, am I God?
Right.
What is this kind of ask? Why are you asking me to cure Naaman of his leprosy? I cannot do that. But I see a contrast here. Can you see how that little humble, nobody, no name girl points Naaman to a prophet? Says, I got somebody over there. And the king, being the king, He's in despair saying, I cannot do this. I have nowhere to go. They just want to conquer me. They just want to kill me. But that's not what happened next, right? We see Elijah, one of my favorite prophets. You guys were talking about Elijah, and I was thinking, man, that was a cool guy who deserves to be the witness of the second time that the Lord comes. But verse 8, and it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me now, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Now, just picture this thing. Man, he comes, Naaman, and stands in the front of the house of Elijah with all this entourage, right? Horses and the prizes that he's got, the gold and all these people that probably he had with them, because this was enemy territory too, right? They could have gotten him. So he probably had several soldiers with him. And he stands at outside the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. I kind of get it, you know, Naaman being this great man, stands outside his house of Elijah, and Elijah's like, sends a messenger, go tell him to wash in the river 7 times. Yeah, I kind of would take offense to that too a little bit. But on the other hand, you are seeking healing. You are seeking some answer to your sickness. And you got it. The thing is that he didn't get it the way he wanted to. Yeah? He says, I wanted Elijah to come outside and strike his hand on the spot and say, and command the power of God and say, be healed and make a great show of it. Right. That's what he's used to, right? Everywhere he goes, everybody probably is doing curses and stuff to him and just humbling themselves to Naaman, but not Elijah. He sends a messenger. I was like, go tell this guy to dip himself 7 times in the river. And he says, are not Abana and Parfar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He says, I got better rivers at home. Correct. Why is this? And I looked it up, right? I don't know if you guys been to Israel. I have not, but you have Google. And I looked it up, and the Jordan River is kind of murky, man. It's pretty brown. It doesn't look very appealing. And I looked up those two rivers, Abana and Farfar, what they think they are in Damascus, and they look amazing. They look clean, you know, crystal clear water. And he says, I got better rivers at home. Right. Just so you get an idea, the Jordan River kind of looks like the Riverwalk. Something like that. Not very appealing. Nah, just kidding. I like the Riverwalk. I like it. I have worse rivers at home. So, you know, pretty bad. But he said, I got better rivers. Shouldn't I go to those and they will be better? But is that what Elijah is trying to convey here? Obviously not. He's not saying this river is magical. He's not saying if you do this in this holy river, that's the one that's gonna do it. Because those over there, they don't have the magic, this one does. No, it's not about that. Let's keep reading, he says. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean. Again, wow. A lowly servant here. My master, excuse me. I know how it sounds. But if he would have told you, hey, go conquer a nation. Bring me those talents of silver and gold and place them here. Or go kill me some animals and bring them to me. Or bring me back the maid or whatever. Something. Go climb a mountain. You would have done it. That's a great thing to do, right? Now, I thought about those faith healers, right? I don't like them, obviously. But I don't blame the people who sometimes believe in them. Because when you get like a sick child, or you have a terminal illness, man, you're looking for anything. Right? Cure my kid, man. Save my child. I have this cancer. I'm going to die. Can you have something for me? And if they tell me, go Mount Everest and climb it. Many people have done it. Do it without air or without help. You know, they carry the tanks and stuff. Air is very thin up there. I will be like, you got it. Yep. I'm going to do it. If they tell me, give me $1,000. That'll be a little fishy, but I'll still give it a try. Right? If they tell you, like they do in Mecca, you gotta make this pilgrimage, right? If you're a Muslim, you gotta go once in your lifetime, if you're able, and if you have the money, says, and you gotta go and do rounds. I don't know how many, but I think 7 or whatever. You gotta do that. So you accept it. I would do it. A great thing. Travel far. Conquer a nation. You would do it. But because he said, just dip 7 times in the river. He was like, really? That's it? I thought he was going to do something mighty, man. I came all this way over here to wash in a murky river. Yeah, I kind of get it. But when you're looking, man, I'll take any deal. I'll take any deal, man. Then After he listened to his servants, he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Oh my goodness. What amazing thing happens when you listen to the word of God. Amen. Right? It seems like nothing sometimes. It seems silly at times. Oh yeah, don't do this, don't do that, whatever. But it's good for you. Amen. At the end.
Amen.
And he returned to the man of God. And he and all his company and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in Israel, in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of the servant. This is a point that I want to make. When God actually responds to you, be grateful. Just be grateful. Remember those 10 blind men that Jesus healed? And only one came back. And Jesus is like, where are the other 9? I healed 10 and only came back. Only one came back. Well, Naaman did the right thing here. He says, he returned to the man of God. And he said, I know there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Therefore, please take a blessing out of thy servant. And Elijah said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged them to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall they not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servants 2 mules, burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. He was convinced. He was convinced. He came back. He was grateful. And the other thing is, he was convinced. He said, I'm done with any other gods. And he was a pagan. He was a Gentile. He was serving, we know in the next verse, he was serving for the house of Rimmon with his king. He says, I'm not going to do that anymore. Give me 2 mules, full of dirt, you know, two loads of dirt on each. So I can take this dirt from Israel and I can worship out in my land again. Because there is no other gods.
Right. Amen.
Be grateful. Has God changed you? It changed my life. I'll tell you that much. It wasn't magical. It was very gradual. But I know he's been working on me.
Amen.
He's been cleaning me all these years, little by little. I've been accepting it reluctantly, most of it, fighting him at times. But man, I've been always grateful that he looked down on me.
Amen.
And he said, come on out.
Yes.
He washed me.
Amen.
He washed me. And I know he washed you too, guys. Amen. There is many religions in the world. Many, many. And one thing seems very peculiar to me, that all these religions are what I call pay to win, right? There is some computer games that you had to pay to win almost because they're so hard and other people do pay and then they fight you or whatever and they have all the good stuff and you have none and you can't win. You had to buy in. All the religions in the world are like that. They are like this. Like, I heard this analogy from one of my favorite preachers. He's a teacher. And he says, you guys are studying for the finals. And after you do the finals, you're going to find out if you pass or not, right? Religions in the world are like this. They get you to study for many years. And after that, the final test to see if you're worthy. To see if you're worthy to pass. To see if you're worthy of their God, their heaven. Christianity is not like that. He takes you at the beginning.
Amen.
I heard this other analogy. It's like when you ask your wife to marry you and you give her a ring, right? He said, will you please marry me and make me the happiest man in the world, and things like that. You don't say, And after 40 years, if you please me, I will take you. Right? And if you don't, you can go back to your mom. No, that's silly, right? But we do it with religion. We do it with God. He takes you at the beginning. Amen. The acceptance is up front. He doesn't say, we'll see if you're worthy. We're not. You're not going to make it. You are not worthy. Just know that. You cannot make it.
Amen.
He accepts you.
Amen.
When you're a sinner.
Thank you, Lord.
And then cleans you.
Amen.
Now, when God says, if you believe in me, I will save you. Why don't you believe him? It's too simple, right? It's like Naaman. That's it? I thought I had to do all these great things. I thought I had to pray every day for the rest of my life, go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and on Christmas, of course, and the Sabbath, whatever. But he didn't ask for any of that, right? I thought I had to sacrifice my life to him, become a priest, become a nun, give up my wealth, give up my life, in a way. But he doesn't ask for that. He takes you at the beginning. Acceptance comes up front. We know that we are the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
He's not saying, well, maybe I'll take you. If you're saved, he already took you.
Yeah.
Amen.
He already did. That's it. Don't deal.
Wow.
You don't have to wait for anything else. Let me read real quick here. I want to go to Luke 4. And I don't know if you remember these words of Christ here. I find it pretty interesting that the Lord Christ mentions Naaman in this chapter. He's talking in the synagogue. So they give him the scroll of Elias, I think. Yeah. And then he puts it down and starts talking to the Jewish people there, to the Jewish teachers. And he tells them, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Why? Because he was telling them, even in that time, when the king was an idolater, a pagan, and the people of Israel weren't paying attention to God, he was healing somebody outside the Jewish people.
Wow.
He says, and now you guys are doing the same with me. He says, there was a lot of lepers, but only one was healed. That's why they got mad. Because it's like, you are not listening right now to God. And there's going to be, this offer is going to expire and it's going to go to the Gentiles. They couldn't believe that. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. That was a hard saying. I love when Jesus Christ confirms Old Testament. When he talks about Jonah, kind of thing. He says, you know, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. That's how the Son of Man is going to be in the belly of earth. Then, you know, that's when I say, you can trust that story. Because Jesus confirms it. And also, you know what Jesus was doing? He wasn't just looking at lepers and saying, you're a leper. He was cleaning them and touching them. And by what means? By, you know, several things, like the one that I never get, the spitting on the earth and making mud and, you know, healing blind people. It is not the means by which he does it that we can see with our eyes, like, oh, go dip yourself or go run around the church. Or I don't know. It's by trusting in his word. If he tells you to do something, wouldn't you do it? We want to do the great things, but we don't want to do the smallest things, like pray. Why don't you pray for your preachers, right? He says, pray without ceasing. And, you know, I'm guilty of that. I don't put much stock in prayer like I should. But the Lord says, pray. And it seems such a small thing to do. We think, come on, man, pray. Like, I'm talking to myself here. Why don't you do it? If he would have said something greater, you would do it, right? If he would actually said, become a priest and you'd be safe. Man, we're going to have like half the congregation being priests here. Everybody would dressed in black and trying to look the part. You know, I have an aunt. She's a nun. She's in Madrid. And she's a cloister nun. She never goes out. She's trying to please the Lord. But the Lord didn't ask for that. I understand her ideas. I don't think they're right. But that's a great thing to do, man. To give up your life and go lock yourself in a room. But he didn't ask for that. He says, believe in me. Amen. Why don't you go dip yourself in the blood of Christ? Amen. He says, he's going to clean you, man. He's going to make you new. Amen. Like Naaman. Can you imagine being spotless? All that dirt in your mind, all that nasty things in your heart, all the feelings of hatred, bitterness, gone. A new clean slate. That's what he offers you. He offers you to be with him. Up front. No strings attached, right? Up front. You believe in the Son of God, he'll take you. The thief on the cross says, take me with you, Lord. He says, you'll be with me in paradise today. What a great deal he got. Man, that's a good deal. But what did he do? He believed it.
Amen.
He believed in the word. Such a small thing. Such a small thing, right? He didn't do nothing. But believed. Do you believe today? Maybe I see most of the faces here are believers. I think so. But if you're not, have you considered Christ? Why not? Maybe you tried everything else. You've been out in the world. You know what's out there. You know there is no solace out there in the world. Nothing's going to give you that stillness. But God says, hey, you just got to trust in God. You just got to trust in Christ. I mean, you just got to trust in him. But we're so stubborn. Maybe you're prideful like Naaman. And he says, what? I think that's why Elijah didn't come to the door. Just a little jab, you know? Oh, you think you're all that? I'm not even come see you. Here's my messenger. Go tell Naaman. He's like, what? He didn't even come to the door? Maybe his pride was in need to be dealt with.
Right.
Maybe your pride is... And I don't see any Naamans here. I'm sorry. I don't see any gray men of... commanding of armies and stuff. You don't have all that much to be prideful about.
Amen.
And you have everything
Amen.
To win. You just let go. Let go of that pride.
Amen.
And say, Christ, Lord, take me.
Yeah.
I want that deal. Just take it. Just take it, man. Just do the small things. He didn't ask you for anything great. I think I'm out of time. Well, I'm not, but I'm going to give you a break for early lunch. Let's go in prayer.
Amen.
Let's thank the Lord for today.
Amen.
And just do the small things. Trust in the Lord. He'll take you. He promised he'll take you. Take him at his word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word today. Thank you for this congregation. It has changed so many lives. Lord, and there is somebody here that does not know you, Lord, personally. Please deal with them according. Don't let his pride or her pride stand in the way, Lord Jesus. Please, if anybody here does not know the Lord, give Christ a chance. Give a chance. The Lord Christ said He'll take you. No strings attached. He'll take you up front. You'll be safe. You'll be saved. And He'll take you in paradise with them into heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And y'all have a good lunch. Thank you.